Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. That's our mantra. That's what we're saying, and we're sticking to it. No matter how many people don't like that, and I read where people don't like that. Yeah. Where truth can't be silenced. That's right. I want to welcome you to the broadcast. I want to thank you so much for your belief and trust in this organization, in this platform, in me, and what we've built. And thank you. Thank you very much. Please go to HagmanReportLive.com. That's HagmanReportLive.com. Three shows there for you. This show, the Keith Hansen radio show, as well as Good Guy, Bad Gun radio with Dan Wass. Weekly for him, and then daily for Keith and myself. All right. A lot of things to get into. First hour here. A lot of things to get into. President Trump is tweeting that he will suspend all immigration. And you can just see, here they come. Here they come. Obviously, it's going to be xenophobe, racist. You know what it's going to be, right? Well, it's about time that our doors are shut. It's about time. What we see, or what is termed as the coronavirus, more accurately as the Communist Party, Chinese Communist Party virus, with U.S. assistance, obviously, technology, money, and, when I say U.S., I'm talking about, individuals, including but not limited to people such as Bill Gates, that money and such. But it appears to be subsiding, at least in numbers. If you look at the numbers, and really you don't know which ones to believe. The economy remains just really flat, obviously. What would you expect? Millions and millions of Americans and legal and illegal, stressing that, illegal criminals. They're not working. They've been thrown out of work, obviously. Many sections of our economy that these illegal aliens, illegal criminals are drawn to, such as restaurant work, laundromats, retail, startups, gardening, housekeeping, hospitality, they're among the hardest hit. And so it doesn't make sense to put the Americans thrown out of work back into the workforce before bringing in new people. And that's what Donald Trump just did and is doing, of course. And you can read about that, Monica Showalter on The American Thinker, a little bit more about that. This is, we see the power grab getting worse and worse and worse and worse. I refuse to get, by the way, and I would urge everyone to adopt this stance. As an American, I refuse to be held hostage to the globalist slash deep state agenda of tyrannical boot thuggery on top of me. Daily Mirror, get used to a new way of living. Have you seen this? It came out last night, this morning, I guess it was. This, the Daily Mirror, get used to a new way of living. This is a website. There it is on your screen. The World Health Organization, the regional director for the Western Pacific, has warned that relaxing lockdown measures too quickly will lead to fresh waves of infections. Now, let me tell you, there are going to be new infections. There are reportedly at least 30, if not more, mutations of this. If you look at Drudge and follow Drudge, it links to his headlines and the links there. So whatever was released upon the people through this bio warfare research, that's exactly what it was. Well, there is no compromise, at least in my view. If you are an American, and specifically if you're a Christian American, we must not compromise. And most assuredly, we must not adhere to, accept, or promote or even agree with these, any kind of vaccinations, untried, untrue, untested. You have no idea what's in them. This, DARPA inoculations. No, no, we cannot afford to be doing that. Meanwhile, you have governors. What do you, you've got governors now doing what? They are embracing additional tyrannical, their additional tyrannical roles. I'm going to show you a governor. Don't stand too close to a light bulb. Gretchen Whitmer from, Michigan. It's 44 seconds. All right. Now she's bemoaning the fact that there are protests. Oh, and I'm going to show you some protests. Even some of our own Kevin, our own Matt standing out in the cold and protesting this lockdown, which by the way is ridiculous. And I can tell you a story. Yesterday I had to, I'll just say this yesterday. Once again, I had to, I went to the, went to the store. And now in Pennsylvania, you have to wear a face mask. So I had, begrudgingly, I took a face mask along with me, had it in my pocket, started walking in the store, got stopped by a guy who said, "Hey, your face mask, sir." And I looked at him and you know, I looked at him and I just, I so wanted to say something. And I did, obviously, before I put my face mask on. I said, "You think that's going to help, right? I mean, you think that's going to help, your face mask?" He didn't know what to say. I said, "You know what? This is like the TSA at the airport." And I'm arguing with him. My wife's saying, "No, no, don't do that. Don't do that." Anyway, she made me sit back in the car. But, of course, that was after I, some other little incidents. Yeah, there were incidents, within the store. And, actually, when I was walking out of the store, I ripped the face mask off and I actually broke the face mask. And, so I don't know what that means, but, you know what? I'm tired of this. If you think these face masks are useful inside, I see some people wearing them. First of all, they're useless. Just trust me. They're useless. I mean, if the wearer of the mask coughs or has any kind of a, respiratory issue, and especially if they're a close talker, you know, Seinfeld close talker, well, yeah, that'll help you. That'll help. I mean, it's more for the other person than it is for you, but sadly, it's now everyone, is required to wear a face mask into retail establishments here in our county or in our state. I'm sorry, because we've got a tyrannical governor. And if, again, this is not, I'm telling you, this is not about healthcare. This is about control. It is not about healthcare. Yeah, I embarrassed my wife. By the way, it's my wife's birthday today. And you know what? She's such a great lady to put up with me. 30 years, well, been together over 30 years. It's a long time, isn't it? Well, anyway, take a look at Michigan Governor Whitmer. Here it is.
President Trump called this a war, and it is exactly that. So let's act like it. In World War II, there weren't people lining up at the Capitol to protest the fact that they had to drop everything they were doing and build planes or tanks or to ration food. They rolled up their sleeves and they got to work. We were all in this together. And it wasn't indefinite. It was until we'd beaten the enemy. No state shined more in those days than the state of Michigan. We are called to act again. It is our time to shine, to put aside our political differences, to come together and defeat our common enemy.
Eric Tech, any comment about that?
The hound's tooth is making me dizzy. Your shirt.
Yeah, that's where
you explain to people why you paused that listen on radio.
Oh, yeah, I should do that, huh? Because I went like this. Does that help the radio people? No, because it's so stupid. The comparisons are, I mean, apples and oranges. I mean, what is wrong with her? What is wrong with people? I just, look, you can't even, I mean, it hurts my brain. You can't even make this stuff up. Well, during World War II. Look, first of all, you know, folks, you can debate among yourselves. I don't even want to spend more time on that. I thought it was noteworthy because if that is the thought process of it, let's give the governors, just give them the benefit of the doubt, just for the sake of argument, this one argument. I don't, but let's give it. If that's the thought process, are we in trouble or what? My goodness. All right. Now, look, what we're seeing here with this supposed pandemic, this is the wet dream, and I apologize if that's offensive to you, of the political left, of the communists. You know, it reminds me of that scene in Red Dawn where that mayor thinks, well, hey, things, you know, I'm going to go along with the invaders and I'm going to accommodate the invaders. You know what I'm talking about. That mayor from Red Dawn, the first Patrick Swayze version, the 80s version, not the latest one or the more recent one, but I truly believe that they're not, they don't have the best interests of the people at heart. And they're, excuse me, I coughed on the microphone. You know what? Hey, I need a mask so I can sound like this, sound like I'm talking. I need a mask. But no, they don't have the interests of Americans at heart. This is a leftist dream come true. What has this given to the left? What has this given to the communists? An attack on the American economy. All right. And where was Donald Trump weakest in terms of his reelection area campaign? Would be the economy. In terms of his vulnerable spot would be the economy. And don't forget, 3 months ago, we had a vibrant economy. Yes, I understand about the false numbers with the stock market. I understand all of that. But by and large, we had a very strong economy. Number of people in the workforce, the numbers you can't make up. All right. So this is giving the left, the communist left, not just the recession, but the destruction of the American economy that people like, Bill Maher and others, you know, hoped so much for. They get up in the morning just slobbering, waiting to enact laws and programs to control every one of your movements. And this pandemic gives them just the chance to do that. Now, they're not letting any crisis at all go to waste, none whatsoever. And they're quickly moving to exercise whatever authority they can dream up against the American citizen. The Constitution to them is nothing more than an archaic suggestion as opposed to the law of the land. The rights given to us by our Creator, well, they don't give a damn about them. And we as Americans, and I'll say this as Americans, and I know I've got listeners from all over the world and viewers from all over the world, but we as Americans, we need to set the example for the world, I believe, because we're damn tired of an oppressive government that they'd say, well, you know, for your own good, you need to stay inside your house. You need to lock your doors, pull down your drapes. Don't go outside. Wear masks, wear gloves, you know, use hand sanitizer. In fact, let me show you how to wash your hands. You know, the guidelines that are coming out of these governors and local authority figures are constantly evolving and changing. And let me tell you about one that just really just frosts my cookies, man. if we can go to conservative treehouse, I want to show you this article here. This is absolutely one of the most hideous things I've ever seen in my life. New Jersey governor bans looking at flowers while driving. Viewing flowers from inside a vehicle is a subversive activity. So Comrades writes, and you can see right there, let this serve as a warning to like-minded subversives who would attempt to defy lockdown orders of Commissar Phil Murphy. That's right. I got it right here, by the way. If wrong thoughts continue to be expressed, it may become necessary for the Ministry of Coronavirus Compliance to deduct 500 credits from your social compliance score. That's right. Please do not put the ministry in this position of having to make such decisions. Compliance is in your best interest. And this is so ridiculous. Dalton Farms, and this is what they're talking about. In New Jersey, Dalton Farms is a 99-acre family-owned and run, conveniently located in southern New Jersey. It's just off of State Route 322. I actually happen to know where this is. And this farm was allowing people of the area to drive through their tulip fields to see the spring colors rise up. It's huge, and it's just tulips everywhere. When I was out and doing work in New York City, I stopped there one time. It was in about this time of year, obviously. And anyway, a dozen or so years ago. But the farm was permitting local residents to drive through their tulip fields to see the spring colors as the flowers bloom. However, now, and I love the way this is written. This article was written, and I'll put a link up in the show description box at HagmanReportLive.com. Apparently fearing transmission of the Wuhan virus from non-compliant vehicle operators, potentially permitting tire-to-tire transmission, the state has ordered the farm to shut down. Now, here I have a picture, and I think, Eric the Tech, you've got a picture of Governor Phil Johnson. Phil Murphy, I'm sorry. I've got a bunch of names written down here. There he is right there. Any special. Which, by the way, if you put, one of those Russian fur caps on them, might look like the next picture you have, or one of the other pictures you have, of the Red Dawn scene. These people are nuts. So at what point are we going to say, no, this is enough? At what point are we going to stop this? Yeah, there he is. There he's on the left of the screen, covering his eyes. Of course, if I remember correctly, that was after or during an execution of dissidents. There's Phil Murphy right there, or at least a representation thereof. And on Conservatory House, there's a mandate from the state. But the article is well written in terms of it's dripping with sarcasm, as it needs to be. All right. Now that I've gotten my papers all mixed up here, I want to show you something else here. Maybe. Hang on. I'll be right with you.
Here's some images from that farm.
Okay. Hey. Those are sunflowers. Those aren't tulips. Liars.
I'm sure they have tons of tulips.
But check that out. Okay, so, seriously, you're telling me that this is some sort of subversive activity. Are we going to accept the conditioning? That's the question. Is the American public going to accept this conditioning? We are already suffering from an economy that has been brought down to its knees. We've got several butlers and several maids, here at the Hagman Mansion. And had to lay them off. No, seriously, I'm joking there, of course. Seriously, I have a friend who, just started a cleaning service. She got her first client. That would have been, I'm not sure of the date. It was a week before everything just shut down. She was in business 1 week. 1 week. And had to shut down. 80% of businesses right now, of restaurants especially, according to a recent poll, will not reopen. And I saw a comment on our YouTube channel where that is to control what we eat, where we eat, how we eat, and perhaps that is. But it's just not limited to restaurants. It's limited to all startups and all businesses. But when we look at the situation, we are poor right now, or we are injured. Our economy is injured. Our economy has been brought to its knees by China. Well, by the globalists and the vehicle used was China. And you've got people like Pelosi and others who sit behind or sit in their mansions for real in their gated communities eating ice cream that really none of us could afford in front of freezers that none of us can afford. We don't expect Americans to huddle in our homes, but the government wants us to do just that. And the government must approve of any activities in which we engage. There was an article in American Thinker by Daniel John Sobieski, who wrote that the Last Supper would have been illegal under the current guidelines as it involved more than 12 people having dinner outside of their homes. Interesting point. He also wrote in that same article, Americans sit in their houses watching pressers where reporters who aren't locked in their homes have a job to go to and never miss a paycheck harass a President Trump, who was called a racist for imposing a needed travel ban from China and is accused of having a financial interest in drugs like hydroxychloroquine that are widely used as a treatment by numerous doctors to fight this virus and to safely use for other purposes as well. And while these experts call that information anecdotal, he writes this also, and this rings true to me and rings, in my heart. He says, we would do well to remember the Statue of Liberty was created not to welcome immigrants as liberals who want open borders claim. It was conceived to celebrate the liberation of American slaves. Yet now, and this is my commentary, we are the slaves under this oppressive, tyrannical government. And I say not anymore, not now. I applaud Kevin, I applaud Matt, and I applaud every single person out there who went out with signs who's saying, kiss my Constitution. And I love that phrase, kiss my Constitution. It's kind of like, which angle you look at that sign from, kiss my Constitution, right? I'm telling you right now, America is not going to put up with this. We are not going to put up with much more of this, nor should we. And speaking with John Moore yesterday, I'm going to tell you this right now. If I had a business, a brick and mortar business, if I had a restaurant, I there's no way I would close based on this. I am calling on all businesses, big and small, to defy the order and to go out and just open up. You know, I'm not sure what's going on here, obviously, with the virus, but by now, there should be a good handle on this particular virus in terms of the mutations or where it's headed. I'm sure scientists, and by the way, the scientist that, the doctor that, we played a clip of yesterday, the 3-minute clip, was just fabulous, I thought, in terms of really talking about what's really going on. Do we still have that in the queue? Do you know what I'm talking about, Eric?
Which video?
Dr. Buttar.
The long video?
Yeah, it was long. I think we played it yesterday, I think the first 3 minutes of it.
Yeah, I can get it.
Okay, I really think that this is important. I wasn't going to do this today, but I don't know how many people, a lot of people have seen this, but I don't know how many people have really understood this. This is from Next News Network. By the way, thank you in advance for allowing me to use this, and folks, support Next News Network. Any video that we use, I would urge the people to support the source. We always like to, I always like to cite the source, Next News Network. Fine folks there. Big organization, big following. But support them. Subscribe to their broadcasts. But this one doctor, Dr. Pitar, kind of gets into it and really, I think we played like 3 minutes of this. I don't, you know what? If you don't have it, do you have it now?
Yeah, I have it.
All right.
We played it from like the middle.
Yeah, I think yesterday. It was, I think it was like from 4:50 or something like that. Maybe it's 3. I'll tell you what, if you can play maybe the last, start at, it's a long video. How long is that video?
49 minutes.
Trying to think here. Can you start at like 7 minutes? And just, I'll tell you when to stop. Let's start at 7 minutes.
Paid for, that then goes to Wuhan and now trying to create this diversion and say that it was China. God, I don't know whether it came from China or released in China, whether it was already released here. It's irrelevant. The complicity of what's going on right now, whether China, whether it was released in China or whether it was already here or however it happened, the U.S. system has condoned it, has jumped on it. They're opportunistic. They're shutting down the economy when they know, in fact, that there's no basis. I mean, there's no virus that leaves 6 feet or 12 feet. Now they're saying 13 feet. Complete misinformation. And I'm sorry that you've pulled the chain on me right now, but the mainstream media, when the Surgeon General came out and said that basically the Gates model, the Fauci model, the World Health Organization model was not going to be followed anymore, and they were going to look at the actual data, the actual numbers, the mainstream media didn't respond at all. All they said was, it seems like we're going to be going to 2022 before people can assemble together. That's what ABC put out. And Fox, or was it New York Post put out, it seems like that the 6 feet of social distancing is not going to be sufficient. It needs to go to 13 feet. There is no virus bacteria that jumps 13 feet. It's just, it defies every logical aspect of science and medicine. And what really, really pisses me off is that there's thousands, tens of thousands of doctors and scientists out there that know that this is a fraud, and they're not saying anything. Either one, they're scared of social ostracization because they're going to be called out, or social shaming, or they're afraid of that they're going to lose their license. For God's sake, this is changing the planet, and every scientist and every doctor that knows this to be a facade needs to open their mouth and speak. There is every aspect of science has just been literally picked up, thrown in the toilet, and flushed down. It's like everybody's ignoring it. The fundamental aspects of how the human system works is being ignored. Physiology is being just put in the garbage bin. Every aspect of virology and infectious disease is being ignored. Koch's postulate has been ignored. Every aspect. Then we've got false positives coming from testing that we know is not adequate, and then the testing that they are doing, like the RT-PCR, the real-time polymerase chain reaction testing, that's already been shown. It was actually the guy who developed it in the 1980s models said that you cannot use this testing for diagnostic purposes. You have to use it only for the where something has a genomic sequence that's already been identified. You can't use it for diagnosis. Yet they're using it for diagnosis. And when that's not enough to justify the number of deaths that they've created this pandemic for, they're causing doctors and nurses to go back and change the death certificates to say COVID-19 is the first cause of death. And if that's not enough, now their mandate's being sent to every state, every doctor from every state medical board saying that there's no necessity to test. I got a letter like this myself. If they have symptoms, send them home. And then the mandate of listing the cause of death is COVID-19. The media propagating footage of hospitals and from one country to another country using the same footage, people, the same person dying multiple times, use of mannequins to show that the people are dying, and yet they can't even show ambulances that are doing anything. They're all parked. They're all sitting there. People are playing chess. They're playing card games because they're so idle. Nurses are being laid off right now because there's not enough work. But they're pushing this agenda of fear, fear, fear. The fear-mongering itself will increase your adrenal output, will cause more stress, more emotional distraught. The emotional aspect, one side, now you're talking about the financial aspect. People are going to get stressed. Guess what that does? It reduces your immune system and makes you susceptible to viruses, bacteria, to many other things.
You
but then
you
create
right
this illusion over something.
Okay. You just keep it on the screen because you can pick this up again. But I'll tell you this. I have a source within the largest hospital in the area. There is an entire floor. I checked at 9:30 yesterday evening. Let me be accurate here. I'm going to say 9:30 p.m., okay, based on her schedule. She's a nurse, okay? So anyway, based on her schedule, I did check out an entire floor. An entire floor of a hospital that has been cordoned off. We reportedly have, I believe, 56 cases as of yesterday in our county. And this hospital would serve the entire county, actually. And more. You know how many occupants are on that floor? Eric the Tech, you want to take a guess? You know the answer, right?
Zero.
Zero.
Or possibly one.
No. The floor is empty. The floor is empty. Now, look, don't send me emails. I mean, you can go ahead. I just delete them. I understand that this virus it's a real thing and it's a killer, but there are other aggravating factors, including, I believe, 5G. Now, in that video, by the way, they beep out 5G. I'm ballsy enough to keep it in. Not to say that they're not, but I don't care. Because the truth can't be silenced. And I don't care if I get, again, evolving, papers from an evolving litigation. Where I'm a Russian agent, obviously, that'll list, the propagation of fake news by combining 5G and coronavirus together. This is the war we're fighting. This is the war we're fighting. In fact, we can stop that there. Please watch the entire video. Millions of people watched it. Thank you, Next News Network. Follow them. They're generous allowing me to use that. They're generous. Thank you. And thank you, doctor, for speaking the truth. Sadly, I contacted three doctors and a physician's assistant, asked them to come on the program locally. Then I know. And they wouldn't do it. Would not do it. To talk about this. So if you're listening to this and you're a physician and you're active in the treatment of this or you're well versed in this and you want to have a voice, send me an email. Doug@HagmanReport.com. And in the subject line, just say, I'm a doctor. Put it in all caps so I can identify it. We get, and I'm serious, we get about 700-800 emails a day, 900 emails a day. So it's a little difficult to keep. I mean, by the time I look at a page, I have to go six pages deep before I even get to, it's crazy. All right. How's the mainstream media treating the people who want to get back to work? Let's check this clip from MSNBC. MSNBC. Let's check this clip out. This compliments of Daily Caller. And listen very carefully to the beginning. And then listen to, just listen to the beginning. And then pay very close attention to the theme throughout this clip, which, let me see here. I didn't mark the time on this, but we can play from the start and let it run through. Go ahead.
they've gone from all lives matter to no lives matter. These folks are, let's be honest about what they are. They are the Fox News Nazi Confederate death cult rump of the Republican Party. To the people who are actually dying from this virus in disproportionate numbers, black and brown people. These aren't economically disenfranchised folks. This represents nothing except the narrow astroturf interests and the hard racist interests that combine and form the modern day Republican Party.
Protesters brandishing assault rifles, racist symbols, and comparing themselves to slaves because of the state's lockdown. Had black Americans like myself scratching our heads and reaching for our masks.
You're allowed to protest. I mean, they feel that way. I watched the protest and they were all 6 feet apart. I mean, it was a very orderly group of people. But, you know, some have gone too far. Some governors have gone too far. Some of the things that happened are maybe not so appropriate.
I'm not sure which protests he's looking at, but look at the ones up there on the screen that we have. Again, these protests, don't have to lie to you. He said they were 6 feet apart. Does this look six feet apart to you?
He said some, by the way, Nimrod.
Obviously, you're concerned by those reckless protests where people were close together, where you did have people bringing military-styled weapons to state houses. It's damaging, of course, to the health and the well-being of millions and millions of senior citizens and other people with underlying health conditions.
These are not organic protests. Most protests on both sides aren't organic. They start with a group. They start with some type of essential movement. But in these cases, in the Michigan case, which really got so much attention there in Lansing, Michigan on Wednesday, as they began to spread across the country, it was organized by the Michigan Conservative Coalition, which was essentially an early group that organized the Tea Party movement really almost a decade ago.
A rising number of Americans are suspecting foul play behind coronavirus lockdowns imposed by state governments across the nation. This past weekend, protesters rallied in front of the Texas state legislature in Austin, demanding that the state's economy reopen immediately, allowing millions of Texans to get back to work.
Meanwhile, protests were held all across the country over the weekend, demanding states open swiftly. Supporters of President Trump were at this one in Washington state.
Protesters say if such policies remain in place, the U.S. economy will never recover from this crisis.
And there it is. And thank you, Daily Caller, News Foundation, D.C. Shorts. But there it is. Eric the Tech, I got to ask you this question. And we're going to get back to the video in a second. Now, you were, because we're not in the studio, obviously, this is my office. You were, which is in my home. You were here when I decided to go to the store with my wife, right?
Yes.
And you witnessed me taking a mask, which she made me take, obviously. The governor, mandated the mask wearing. And there was an incident that happened that I was going to do that I was prevented from doing. Do you remember what that was? Did I even ask that question correctly? I opened a drawer and I grabbed a Sharpie.
Oh, that's right. You're going to draw something on your mask.
I was going to write something on my mask. And yet she said, no, don't do that. Don't do that.
Would that have included choice words?
No, actually, no. It wouldn't have done. No, look, I've got more class than that. Well, I pretend.
You would have gotten high as a kite, too, because of that Sharpie. Oh,
yeah, that's true.
Breathing that in.
That's true. I never thought of that. Yeah. Let me sniff a Sharpie. Wait a minute. Yeah. Hang on a second here. I gotta
color your whole mask, your white mask with a black Sharpie. Pass out and like.
Wow, that is strong, isn't it? Wow. It's enough to make your eyes water. Okay. Yeah, I was gonna put on there, just say no to fascism. Really, I was gonna, of course, you look at that and you think, well, you know, he's wearing a mask to say, but, yeah, she grabbed the, she, no, she, took the Sharpie out of my hand, closed the drawer and stood in front of the drawer. And then she said, "You behave." And I went to the, you know, we went shopping, boy. It was, yeah. So she made me sit in the car afterwards, after I got into, I kind of got into it, you know, like I said earlier. And I was putting the time out. I was texting Eric at the time saying, you know, she made me sit in the car. The reason, look, folks, I'm just saying, the reason I'm saying all of this is because, first of all, we have, I really believe that you and I, all of us, we have to fight back. But I also believe too, that we can't give ourselves, you know, like the doctor said, look, the stress level just goes through the roof. Look, I don't know about you, but I worry about money. Okay. I worry about, I've got a budget. I look every week I have a budget. Now from the business, I got a payroll. So I've got to make payroll and I've got to make expenses, airtime, satellite time, all of this. We've lost the corporate sponsors we had, I lost three corporate sponsors because of this situation. Not because they didn't like me. No, but because, so, the stress from the economy is wearing on all of us. So imagine this a month from now or 2 months from now or however long, as, because it's not going to get any better. And unless, you know, Uncle Nestor, you know, or, you know, I don't know, unless a rich uncle or a rich aunt or a rich family member leaves you their estate, you know, you've got, so I get it. You get the gas bill, you get the electric bill, and you look at this and you think, I don't have any income. I'm dipping into my savings. I'm juggling credit card debt. I'm doing, you know, whatever you need to do to survive. And you got some governor up there saying, no, you can't open your business or you've got to do this X, Y, and Z. No, this is not going to work well. This is not gonna end well. Bill Barr has weighed in on this as well, stating that certain governor's actions infringe upon a fundamental right during coronavirus, which goes back to the MSNBC clip. I don't remember what the initial phrase was from that sportscaster. I think he was a sportscaster, as if that's relevant. Something of a Fox News national death Nazi cult rump or something like that. Maybe I've got the words in not in the correct order, but seriously, people want to go to work. And I understand social distancing. Oh, that's another thing. Let's talk about social distancing. Why the phrase, and I'm just a curious gun and kind of guy. Why the phrase social distancing? Why not physical distancing? Because that's what it is. Why social distancing?
Because it's trendy.
Trendy. Because people, you know.
Like Facebook.
Facebook. Yeah.
How'd that get named? Who named that? Twitter.
Twitter.
Who named that?
You have to wonder about the origin of the names, don't you? And of course, for the sake of Twitter, the character limitation. And the other thing too, which really just blows my mind, you go from writing in cursive to the use of emojis, caveman language, right? Don't get me started on emojis. I'll tell you one thing. If I see a comment with emojis in them, or if I get an email with emojis in them, or I don't text, I don't even know where my phone, that tells me, well, it tells me a lot, but Bill Barr has come up and said that some state governors are infringing on fundamental rights of Americans. Yay. Thank you for recognizing that, Bill Barr. Oh, by the way, Bill Barr, where are the indictments? Now, I do believe we could see, maybe later this week, John Solomon reporting this, or next week, some indictments. I'm thinking Strzok Page kind of indictments. You know, maybe to toss a bone out to people, make them just think that there's something more going on. But anyway, more and more is coming out about that. Let's not forget the attempts to unseat Donald Trump. Let's not forget that. Let's not forget the attempts to keep him out of office. The rights that, I mean, what they did to President Trump, they've done to no president in the past. It's crazy. The surveillance. And I will say this, in addition to electronic surveillance, there were, human surveillance, human assets, spies put in his campaign organization to monitor his activities. This by, of course, both Comey and Brennan through Five Eyes, because obviously mandated in the United States, you can't spy on people in the United States. So, of course, they had to depend on foreign assets to come in and to conduct surveillance and such. So, but now, anyway, the purpose of me mentioning Barr is he's coming up and saying, well, you know what? When a governor, and I'm going to quote from him. When a governor acts, especially when a governor does something that intrudes upon or infringes on a fundamental right or a constitutional right, they are bounded by that. And those situations are emerging around the country to some extent, meaning that the governors especially the blue state governors, are overstepping their bounds. Much like this, let's ban, you know, the tour of tulips. Let's ban this. Phil Murphy. Yeah. All right. So that's, but nonetheless, he came out and this also goes to the right to peaceably assemble without regard to pandemics, plandemics, viruses, or the fascist dreams of the tyrannical left. You know, again, it comes back to you quarantine the sick. You don't quarantine the healthy or all people. Anyway, so I look at Bill Barr, though, and I'm looking for action, and I don't see action. So that was another thing. One more thing here as well. Eric the Tech, we had a video from yesterday, I believe it was, that I wanted to play. Do we still have that in?
Before you go there, are you getting into Kevin and Matt at all?
Oh yeah, let's put those pictures up. And I want to give a really hearty thank you to Kevin and Matt, both from the Northeast, from New England area. I won't give out their states. New Hampshire, well, the protest, if you will, was in New Hampshire this weekend. They went out, braved the cold, and took part in the protest of the lockdown. And they were one of many, but they were featured on the news. Kiss my Constitution. No authority for lockdowns. The Hagman Report's own Matt Essen and Kevin.
Two of the best.
That's right. Kiss my Constitution. Somebody should trademark that phrase. Kiss my Constitution. I think that is that, again, depending on how you look at that, that says everything, but no authority for lockdowns indeed.
Was it Kevin that said I was a Russian spy?
Did he say that?
He likes to.
Are you?
I don't know.
No, I think that was, I think I read that in some legal documents. I'm not sure. No, they're good. I'm glad you had those pictures up. Because, again, this is what we need to do. We need to send a message, I believe. We need to send a message to people out there saying, you know what, we're not going to take this. Now, Georgia is allowing, but oh, there, okay, there
they're
it is
at the
right
top
there.
Of the screen.
Yeah, yeah. This is, I believe this could be drone footage. I'm not sure. Armed drone. But, WMUR, compliments of Channel 9. They're not practicing social distancing at all, are they? Gonna have to turn you in. And that's another thing too. Have you noticed, Eric the Tech, since you're chatty today, have you noticed we are seeing more and more, and this is happening in the wealthy sections, Palm Beach, gated communities, more and more people are turning others in for violating this lockdown order. Have you seen that?
Yep.
Oh, man.
I guarantee they all voted blue.
I'm sure. Well, guess what? I just saw this, and I'm not sure if I can bring this back up again. A talk show host, or what is described as a shock jock in St. Louis, published the emails of the people who turned in certain businesses. Okay.
That's great.
I can't find it right now. But it, so...
Are you allowed to do that?
Doxing people? I mean, I don't know if that's really fits doxing. Cause I don't know what, I didn't see, I saw the headline and I saw like the first sentence of the article. I don't, are you allowed to do that? I believe he used the Sunshine Act to get that information and then somehow published them. I mean,
if there's a website that holds all of Trump's donor information.
That's true.
Addresses and stuff like that. An email address is pretty easy compared to that.
You know, that's the thing. What I was going to do, although I'm on enough lists already, I was going to send like $25 to, not the RNC, because that doesn't, this website, monitors people who donate to Donald Trump.
I forget what that's called.
Yeah. I can't remember either, but I was going to donate $25 just to get on the list. Of course, I'm already on the list. Many lists.
Yeah, but that's a easy public access list.
It
information.
Is. Too easy. I don't know. I don't know. But you know, let me just cut to something else here. In terms of what I was talking about from yesterday, you don't have to worry about that. Hang on, I'm getting to it. There was something else here I wanted to touch on. Yeah, I don't worry about this, folks. I had it all planned out.
We do have that band video left.
Oh yes, that was it. That was it. I'm so sorry about that. This is about the protest. Thank you very much. I'm looking. Here's my sheet for today, and I'm looking right at that. That's what I was actually looking for. Now this, I believe this is only half, I'm not sure how long this is, but if you want a starting point as to what we need to do, this is why I grabbed this one. This is not just showing that the protest, but there's also a lot of good factual information in this. So if you can hit that, it's not because I'm out of material, it's because there's so much, you have to do a triage here. But take a look at this. A lot of great information in this video. Go ahead.
The economy has been shut down for almost 4 weeks, and Americans have had enough. As tyrannical governors extend lockdown orders, police force citizens to wear face masks, and even fine people for attending church, Americans are beginning to stand up for their constitutional rights amid this unconstitutional shutdown. Before we get into all of the ways Americans are standing up against their local and state governments, let's do a quick refresher on the Constitution and the First Amendment, which states that Congress shall make no law restricting the freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, freedom of press, or the right to petition. But let's focus on those first three freedoms, starting off with the freedom of religion. Churches all over America decided for Easter Sunday to stand up against the social distancing orders that forced them to close their doors. In Mississippi, the Temple Baptist Church decided to hold a drive-in Easter service where attendees congregated in the parking lot. To ensure they followed all CDC guidelines, the church had all attendees stay within their cars and listen to their pastor through their radios with their windows rolled up. However, despite following CDC guidelines, police officers began issuing $500 fines to attendees, even though the city was still permitting citizens to attend nearby drive-in restaurants with their car windows rolled down. In Kentucky, churchgoers who attended Easter services were met with nails scattered in their parking lot and police threatening to record the license plates of attendees to force them into a 14-day quarantine. In protest, citizens still attended church services, covering their license plates with cardboard in an attempt to evade the police. And more church attendees and pastors are beginning to stand up. In Louisville, a local pastor sued the mayor for trying to stop drive-through church services. And pastors in California have also followed course, suing Governor Gavin Newsom for the COVID-19 orders that forced the closures of churches while still allowing Costco and local marijuana and liquor stores to remain open, arguing that if people use social distancing to visit these locations, why can't they use the same measures when attending church? The DOJ has also filed a statement of interest in the Mississippi church case, sharing that it strongly suggests that the city's actions target religious conduct. As coronavirus lockdowns are extended in various states, many Americans have also begun utilizing their freedom of assembly and freedom of speech to protest the extended shutdowns. In North Carolina, more than 100 protesters rallied to reopen their economy, sharing that their governor's stay-at-home orders were unconstitutional and would lead to the death of the state's small businesses. Police were at the protest telling citizens to keep 6 feet of distance, and the event ended with one arrest, with the police department sharing that protesting is a non-essential activity. Citizens in Ohio, also angry with the shutdown of private businesses, have resorted to the same measures.
Coach Dave's in there somewhere, I think.
In Michigan, citizens are planning Operation Gridlock, a large in-vehicle protest at their state capital to counter their governor's strict lockdown orders, which bar all unnecessary travel between two homes within the state, and stop the sale of gardening supplies. Their goal is to get 500 cars to gridlock Michigan streets to make their unhappiness with their governor's strict lockdowns known. As the government allows abortion clinics, liquor stores, and marijuana dispensaries to remain open, deeming them as essential businesses, Americans and their families are eager to reopen the economy and reopen their private businesses so they can begin paying their bills and feeding their families again. With a record 17 million Americans unemployed in a matter of weeks, and the COVID-19 death projections used to shut down the economy proven wrong every single day, Americans are beginning to stand up against these unconstitutional government shutdowns with a message that is loud and clear. Reopen the economy. This has been Savannah Hernandez for Action 7 News.
All right. That was the video. Now it's not going to shut itself off. Okay. Thank you. That was a video. And think about what you just saw. And as a matter of fact, I'll link it in the program discussion box at Hagman Report Live. But here's what we need to do at this point. And somebody's going to have to, we're all going to have to rise up as leaders rather than have a central point of leadership. But we're all going to have to rise up and say enough is enough. We have to reopen the economy. We know what this is. Reopen businesses. We know what's going on here. And what you said was going on initially, yeah, okay, we gave you the benefit of the doubt. Turns out that you've lied to us. Fauci, Gates, Burks. They've all lied to us. And worse than that, they're involved in creating this complete and total grid, surveillance grid, using this as the catalyst. We're not going to accept that. And we're not going to accept the fact that you're destroying the planet, the population of the planet, that is, in the process. We're not going to put up with it. You know, I'm wondering how many people have some extra time. And if you do have some extra time right now, take advantage of it. Indeed, fight back, but take advantage of the extra time you have and do things that are productive. We're talking about the economy. How about your personal economy, your personal financial health? Do things that will help you. As a matter of fact, right now, take a look in your wallet and take a look at the high interest credit cards you may have in your wallet. And I suspect that many of you do. Do an inventory. Check out the high interest rates you're paying. Take a look at those. I've got something for you, my friends, at Lightstream. I'm going to tell you, lightstream.com/Hagman. That's the place to go. You know, again, it's not surprising if you've got 2, 3, 4 high interest credit cards in your wallet right now. Why not pay them off with a credit card consolidation loan from my friends at Lightstream? Simple. Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience. And that's exactly what they deliver. You can get a low fixed interest rate and loan and free up more money in your monthly budget. You can say goodbye to credit card bills and take even more control of your money. Lightstream's credit card consolidation loans have rates from just 5.95% APR with autopay, and they're are absolutely no fees. You can even get your money the same day, as soon as the same day as you apply. We've done this, and we've saved hundreds of dollars personally and professionally. You know, we buy a lot of equipment, and we buy a lot on time, some using store cards. And I've got to tell you, the interest rates are debilitating if you would pay them on a monthly basis. So we've benefited from Lightstream. I got an email from a listener. And again, sometimes these sound like so similar, but this from Tammy out of New York, saying that I was listening to your program. You mentioned Lightstream. I didn't believe that I had the credit necessary. The credit history necessary to get a loan from Lightstream. It took me about 15 minutes and I had all of my personal information together, input the information. I was notified. I had the money and my credit cards, high interest rate credit cards, paid off the next day. Plus, Lightstream had the best rate by far. Yes, you are correct. There were no fees. This was an absolutely painless experience, and I would highly recommend this to all of your listeners. So thank you, Tammy from New York. There's one testimonial. So here's what you need to do. Real simple. My friends at Lightstream. Folks, apply today to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Hagman. That is LIGHTSTREAM. Lightstream.com/Hagman. Remember, there are two N's at the end of Hagman. This is subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Hagman for more information. You'll thank me later. You will. All right, if it's Tuesday, it's Tuesdays with Stan. And Stan, thank you so much for joining me, and thanks for your patience as I went off the clock there and program clock, and it was, what can you do? How you doing, brother?
Oh, I'm doing fine. How about you?
Doing fine. Doing fine. I got to ask you, though, is it cold where you're at? Are you, like, is it really cold?
Cold? No.
Outside?
What's about 50 degrees, something like that.
Okay. All right. We just can't seem to shake winter up here. I don't know. It's like 42 degrees, and the wind off of Lake Erie is cold, and it just seems like it's really cold. Anyway, I can't wait to get my cabin cruiser in the water. Oh, wait. Never mind. Anyway.
Some might be fooled by that, but not me. You know? No,
it's cold. It really is. But okay. You're doing well. Holly's doing well, I take it?
Yeah. Good. We made some chocolate chip cookies over the weekend, and I've availed myself of the testing duties, you see, to be sure they're okay.
Hey, I do that too. Thanks, Holly. Hey, Holly, I'll send you my address. I hear you make some good cookies, but Dare to Prepare, what? She writes good too. You got a lovely wife who bakes. I mean, how great is that? But my wife makes some great cookies too. And by the way, it's my wife's birthday today, folks. I want to just tell you that and happy birthday to a woman I love. All right. Stan,
let me ask Eric the Tech. Eric, is there a way to filter out that red? It looks like I'm dying of red flush here. I don't know what's happening here.
I can see what I can do.
Okay, thank you, sir. All right, now back to the issue here. What's on the news for today? Coronavirus. Oh, that's novel, so to speak.
throw that in. I got to tell you, it was kind of a relaxing, relaxing Tuesday. Laid back. I shouldn't say relaxing, laid back. So, you know, laughter is good for the soul. Novel, it indeed. Is. Yeah.
The novel coronavirus. Yes, yes. Just before we get too much into that kind of stuff, slide 49 on my show images page. Okay. I have a picture there in the icon of George Washington, and underneath is a link to an article about it, which goes into a government location, you know, government thing on science and technology, and it shows you the story, which basically is that during the Revolutionary War, smallpox was hitting the population of the United States and the English and, of course, the Continental Army. Now, Washington had known about the early tests of using an inoculation for various viruses and things to counteract them. So he asked Continental Congress, he said, look, guys, I need to go and inoculate my men because they're coming down with smallpox, and only 1/4 of the whole army has ever had it before, and it's immune. And so he had a battle with them. They didn't want him to do it, so he just said, right, up yours. I'm going to have my men inoculated. So he had all of his commanders out there, he sent letters to them, inoculate your men with smallpox. And the way they did it then was they cut a little cut into your flesh, and they rubbed some live smallpox vaccine into it. And that helped a lot because they were able to reduce their casualties to very minimal amounts. But I just thought it was interesting that the founding father of this country was brave enough to use inoculation for smallpox, and back then even we had problems with viruses, and smallpox has theoretically been eliminated, but they've had a couple of graves and things exhumed, and apparently the smallpox vaccine or virus is now loose again somewhere.
That's nice, anyway, to think about, but I'm sure Washington put a moratorium on the Revolutionary War, closed down businesses, and pulled men back, right? I'm sure everything stopped during that time. Yeah.
No, I understand, but no, it didn't happen that way. Now, slide 55 is rather interesting while we're talking about, you know, how far back this kind of stuff goes. If you go to slide 55 and click on the picture, it's a huge picture, so you have to kind of zoom it up a bit. You'll see that the United States had, well, the world had four major viral catastrophes, but this shows you here in 1919 a picture of women walking down the street wearing these masks across their face to prevent being infected or to infect someone else. And then the next slide over, you see you see a woman typing with her mask on. In the street, you see ambulances carrying people away, and everybody's wearing masks again. And then a photo that says to people, wear a mask or go to jail. So it's not a new issue where we're looking at this. And if you go to the end slide, you'll see that in 1720, there was a plague. 1820, there was cholera. 1920, there was the Spanish flu. And now, of course, we've got coronavirus. And all this is because we are every 100 years experiencing some kind of a plague. It seems odd, but it's darn near every 100 years exactly that a plague really hits the United States. So,
well, yeah, Stan, I'll tell you what, I got a problem with wearing a mask. I really do. Do they help?
It's a great time. Oh, I don't know. To a degree, I suppose, but, it's probably better than just breathing heavy on somebody and giving them, you know, droplets or sneezing on them. So that works. And, mm-hmm. And if you're a bank robber or a grocery store robber now, then wearing the mask is kind of in vogue and it hides your face. So it's quite functional in a lot of ways.
I was thinking about that. And I had sent Eric a text yesterday. I'm glad I'm not conducting active surveillances right now, because imagine the nightmare of having to identify or authenticate the identification of an individual in a courtroom. Mm-hmm. You know that okay, you've got it would be a nightmare, depending on the situation. So you're right. I think enterprising individuals will use this as an opportunity. Sadly.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I've heard a lot of stuff about, you know, whether this virus is man-made or not. And certainly it has been patented in the United States and in Canada and things. And I don't know why we have to have these biowarfare things unless it's knowing that the enemy around the planet is doing development of these kind of things, and we need to have an antidote for it or antibodies. But in spite of all that, you know, you look at slide 52. It's a video, actually, of an interview there where a doctor is explaining that that Dr. Fauci, under the Obama administration, put $3.7 million to a grant into the Wuhan lab which produced this virus. Now, you kind of have to look at it like conspiratorially for a moment and say, well, why are we funding them as well? Is this a global effort to bring about pandemics that will reduce the population, as the globalists say we need to do? We need to cut the population here down by at least 75%, so that we have 1/4 of the population. This doctor covers a number of things on that, and it sends red flags up to me about what is the truth we're being told in the media. I mean, who do you trust? Things are edited, things are not reported, things are reported incorrectly. It says, okay, we're heading back to Stanley's model of the need for a one-world government that the globalists have been putting in place for decades. And although I haven't posted a link to it here on the main show images page, down at the bottom of it there you see the cosmic conspiracy at slide 18. In there, I mentioned, probably 4 or 5 times. Let me see if I've got a copy of it here. I'll just read something from it if I do.
I just gave a copy of your cosmic conspiracy to my neighbor yesterday when I saw him on my way to the store, and I handed him. I said, "You got to read this. This is from the 70s." And
yeah, I was just going to say, yeah, it's from the 70s, 78 actually, and how far ahead the Lord showed me what was going to be happening, and so I reported it to people. That's your shot of it there. It took me a second to open up what I wanted to share. PDF. Okay. I did make a PDF of the extracts that I have in that book, which are quite interesting. Okay. Come on, Microsoft. Let me have my file. I was just going to read you some of these clips. From page 55, page 83, I don't have a page number, toward the end of it in the millennial edition, 1998 millennium edition of Cosmic Conspiracy. But here are some things. Page 83 probably. All we would have to do was to concoct spurious global crises, break down the cultural boundaries, embarrass their established orders, and threaten them with World War III or nuclear annihilation, and we could force people, into this world government. And I said there on that page, I can see it now, frozen in an energy crisis, saddened by the water gates of the world, dying from environmental pollution, starving from food shortages, frightened of global nuclear war, sick of the moral decay, afraid of the daily news, bankrupted by global monetary fluctuations, unemployed from economic depressions, crowded by the ever-present birth rate, frightened by the suspicion that a global weather catastrophe is about to happen. Mankind, that great sluggish mass of which you and I in reality are a part, would have been ready for alternative 3, which of course is the world order brought on by aliens, friendly aliens, but still, you know, not of this planet, not of this world. And it goes on there. There are several mentions that I have about the plagues and how these are part of the global crisis curves that would be put upon us to bring in the need for a new world order. And of course, right now, a lot of people are saying, you know, they are sick of our governments. In Israel, they can't, well, in fact, they got a government finally with Netanyahu making a concession to Gantz, but for nearly a year, they've had troubles with their elections there. So people are sick to death of politics in Israel. They're sick to death with elections here in the United States because, you know, the great divide between the left and the right, and the left is trying to destroy this country. So, yeah, I'm sick of it. A lot of people are sick of all this political movements, which are causing people to lose businesses, livelihoods, and to die unnecessarily. But that is part of the plan, is to make people of the earth unsatisfied, dissatisfied with their leaders, their government, crying out for a new way to have life and freedom, to have peace and security. Now, the alien card will be played. I talked about this in 1978, because having exposure to the back rooms of Dr. Teller's project to develop anti-gravity and various other crafts and technology, which were held away from the public, I knew that there was a reason that they were going to release that much later to form this global government. We're very close to that now. The world, you know, the world government has the attention, the invisible government, the deep state, whatever you want to call them, they have the attention of the masses. They control the leaders of the world. There's no doubt about that. One way or another, economically or directly or, you know, blackmail or whatever, they control the leadership of the countries of the entire world. They will go the way the deep state says to go.
Can we fight this?
Absolutely.
I mean, can we efficiently fight it? No?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. It's too far gone. There are other things happening, which drives a lot of us that are Christians and evangelical Christians who study the Word of God to believe that we must be close to the tribulation period, the great 7-year tribulation period where majority of the planet dies from one disaster or another. And we're some of us, you know, believe in a rapture where the believing Christians will be caught up out of the earth. And that'd be good. But I'm going to put a caution out there at this time to all the people who are looking for a rapture, whether it be pre or mid or whatever, that Jesus himself warned people in Matthew 24:24-26. I'm going to read that because the deception of these alien, you know, messiahs coming to us is part of this plan. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and they will show you great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect, you know, being the Jewish people and the Christian, you know, believers and who are active at this time. Behold, I've told you before, wherefore, if they shall say to you, behold, he, the Messiah, is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chambers. Believe it not. Now, if you click on slide 47 text, it takes you to a video where a guy warns about a false rapture and the blue beam, use of blue beam technology to fool everybody. And, you know, blue beam technology shows that there's going to be a lot of large ships in orbit. There's going to be a lot of miracles performed. Fire is going to be shot down from orbit down to targets on the earth, and people will be impressed. But if you read the prophecies, especially about the rapture, it's going to happen in the twinkling of an eye, in a 5/1000th of a second or less. It's going to happen all over the planet to those who are being caught up in the rapture. So if someone comes on TV or radio or out in the, you know, in the neighborhood, you hear a sound that says, come out of your house now that we're going to rapture you. You know, come on out here and join the rapture. If whatever, however they say it, don't believe that, because wherever you are, if you're in a hospital, if you're in a bed, asleep, you know, in a shower or whatever, you're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye in that event. So don't go to the false ones. Now, this guy's talking about it from a logical point of view, and he tells you in a video why he thinks that. I actually had a dream vision, which I haven't posted on my website years ago, showing that I was watching a bunch of people in their cars driving out to a secret place in the desert, passing a little country store there, and you know, they're asking for maps to get to where everybody's going to that, to the saucers, you know, to the landing. And they were going to be raptured, you know, and so they were going to this secret place in the desert. I saw that in a dream vision just as clear, you know, as if I were awake. And I knew what it was about. It was to warn people, Christian people, do not be deceived by a false rapture. And remember, the Satan is very, very clever. He reads the Bible. He knows what everybody's expecting, and he's going to give you fake things, fake Messiah, fake world leader, all that kind of stuff. I can't warn people enough. God is not going to leave behind Christian believers that are going to be caught up in the rapture if they're in the hospital, sick with a virus or getting an operation or whatever, or locked up in prison. He is going to get you wherever you are, so you don't need to go to some secret place. I can't stress that enough. Having had the dream vision warning myself and understanding the mechanism behind it from what I wrote in The Cosmic Conspiracy. Get the book. We've got a few of them left out the back. And get to the sections, where I talk about world order and crisis curves, and into the millennial edition at the end, where I tell you how this satanic deception is going to occur and why I can say that from stuff that I translated from the book of Daniel. Just short passage telling about the Antichrist and how he's going to have the backing of a false alien god. It all adds up. So I really need to stress that to people. It is coming. Don't be deceived.
You know, thinking about this, Stan, it hurts my heart to think how many people, Christians, believers, people with good hearts, bad discernment, are going to get caught up in this. I don't know. I was listening to you intently, and folks, there's a section in Cosmic Conspiracy, a number of sections, that I really consider more important than other things, but I mean, everything's important in there, but Stan's got a way with things, with writing things and helping us understand things. So that's why Cosmic Conspiracy is really, it should be part of your library. So get Cosmic Conspiracy. Please do that. But Stan, as you're talking there, visions in my head, just kind of mental pictures, seeing other Christians, kind of begging their families, saying, come on, let's go. It's happening now. Like you were describing. And the deception being so great. I don't know. It hurts. It hurts me.
It does, me too, and I'm thinking about that, about Paul's warning to our message to the Thessalonians. He said, you haven't been left behind. The rapture hadn't occurred yet. Has the man of sin been revealed yet? Now, revelation to the whole planet of the man of sin might well be what Jesus is warning about in Matthew 24, in that a fake rapture occurs, aliens come and they're saucers and they catch up a bunch of people who they probably destroy in some terrible way. But people on the earth see everybody, those people being caught up, and then this Satan or the Antichrist has been revealed at that point. So after that, then sometime almost immediately, I would think that the real rapture occurs. And, the loss of all these people, in addition to the ones that went out to do the false landing, will be explained away as, these people have been taken to other existences, other planets, to polish their souls and to let them understand what I'm all about, Satan talking through his Antichrist. So people will believe it, because not to believe it would be pretty terrible, frightening.
Yes.
Anyway.
Well, one of the first Twilight Zone episodes I remember watching was To Serve Man. It's a cookbook.
Yeah.
I just found this out. Speaking of for people's useless knowledge, level of useless knowledge, there was one word, Stan, I'm going to see if you know this, in the Twilight Zone episode series, which five seasons, 59 to 64. The first four seasons were half hours. The fourth, the first three were half hours, the fourth were hour segments, and then the fifth went back to half hours. And by the way, submitted for your approval, that opening only happened on three episodes. That aside, okay, there was one word Rod Serling would not allow any of the writers to use. It was Rod Serling who would insert that word in the script himself. Now, at first I thought, man, you know, when I read this, I thought, wow, that's pretty, maybe he didn't like that word. But on the other hand, I was looking and thinking, oh, maybe he really liked that word and wanted it to be used properly. Do you know what that word was? Did I ask that question right? Properly? God.
Really?
Yeah. Any script.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he did not allow his writers to use the word God in his scripts. He was the only one that would use that word, and he himself would put that word in the scripts where he felt it. Now, again, at first I thought maybe he's an atheist, maybe he doesn't like God. But then the more I thought about it, and then looking at the scripts themselves, which are online, by the way, I'm thinking, well, maybe he had more reverence than hatred. So I think it's I think he had reverence for it. But I just thought that was kind of interesting in the realm of useless knowledge that people don't need, you know. Anyway, but to serve man, you know, that kind of made me think of that.
Yeah, that was an interesting episode where the people had been caught up by the aliens in their ship and were being taken to their home planet.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they had given them a piece of paper or something to read, and it was in an alien language. And when they finally got it translated, it's a cookbook and how to cook man. So they were being taken to the slaughterhouse. So, yeah,
but that deception, it taught, that was one of the first things in my youth that taught me about deception, you know, really about how deep deception can be and how people can fall for certain things.
I don't know. And then there was another episode where the nuclear threat to the neighborhood and or alien landing or something, and everybody in this one family had a shelter the neighbors knew about. Then they locked themselves in the shelter getting ready to weather the attacks and things. And the neighbors came and said, well, let us into your shelter, you know. And the guy yelled through the door. He says, I told you to prepare yourself, and you didn't. So they end up getting stuff to break into his shelter, and then it's a false alarm. But it just shows you that how – people turn on each other. And when you're prepping and stuff, just remember that these folks are going to knock on your door.
That's right. Yeah. And playing cards one night together and having drinks and backyard picnics. And the next night you're busting down the door.
Your enemy.
Yeah, exactly. And that reminds me of too, today, Stan, we're seeing these turn in your neighbor, turn in the violators of this COVID lockdown, and there's no shortage of those people. I'm telling you, it's unbelievable how many people are turning neighbors in for violating the quarantine. And I'm not talking about you know, big time violations. I'm talking about things like having somebody come over to your house to fix a leaky pipe, for example, or a leaking pipe. And they'll call in and report on the business and report on the neighbor. I don't know. It's just the stories are plentiful.
Yeah, well, we're quite aware of that. And with the degree of shutdown varying from state to state, there are some states that are like in Kansas, more of a worry. All of our employees and our officers in our EMP Shield business are considered critical infrastructure.
I would think.
And we're given a piece of paper and, you know, writing on it and stuff and signatures, which we show if we're ever arrested or stopped for being out during this, because we have, you know, carte blanche to move.
So, but should we even have that? Should we even be at that point, Stan? I mean, we're talking, I guess, metaphor. No, I guess. I mean, should to me. I don't know. My constitution doesn't say anything about stopping businesses, essential or not, or needing papers to work. I mean, I know these are unusual times, but does that mean that we suspend the Constitution?
You know, I have no way to answer that. It's a crisis. I know that these are accelerated beyond what they should be in the media for purpose of getting people to accept more government control toward the time when these may be worse. I mean, an argument could be made in favor of what the deep state wants to do. They're doing it without the existence of God. In their mind, mankind has to solve the problems coming, and they know that the average human being is like a sheep. He will go where he's directed. And he will react frightened like sheep do. And the ones in charge of our world governments behind the scenes realize to themselves that, look, we have to do something about this. And we have to, if we have to lose a few humans because we're going to try to preserve the race. And so they make these kind of big decisions, which violate a lot of our ethics, our Constitution here in the United States. And they do this thinking they're doing the best thing, and that religion is an opiate of the people and that God is not really an issue. They treat themselves as the saviors of mankind. So if they're doing this kind of stuff, they're doing it without God's approval. God knows it's going to happen, and he's seen it coming and told us about it through his prophets. And so that's the difference. I think we need a world order. We need a global commander, a chief, a king, the Messiah Jesus. I have no doubts that he will be able to run this planet on a very equitable and harmonic basis for the environment and for the people who live here and the animal life form. But
not Bill Gates. No, not Bill Gates, not George Soros, but our Messiah.
The Gates to Heaven.
Yeah.
The Gates to Heaven Project, yeah.
Yeah. You remember Art Bell. What was that? Art Bell and Heaven's Gate, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Wow. Yeah. I'll get that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I better grab it, though. I don't know if this... Oh, yeah, she's got it upstairs.
It's just... Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Things are heating up in a number of areas, which are doing exactly what I predicted in the Cosmic Conspiracy and many lectures. And another curve that we're looking at is nuclear war, threat of annihilation to the whole planet. It's not just the United States. So this is another one of those global crisis curves that will force people, you know, to run to a world government to give up more liberties, to have peace and security, and to be, in essence, controlled by, you know, the castle owners of the planet, you know, who are handling the serfs. And that's all of us down here at this level. One of those things that's happening is the threat of this war, which in slide 57, if you click on the slide itself, you'll see I've got two pictures there. One off the bow of one of our naval craft. And it shows a wake ahead of it where one of these gunboats is going into the front of it. And what you've got there is a close-up of that gunboat, and the guy's got his safety off and ready to fire, you know, on the U.S. ship, or at least to throw shells in their direction to look threatening. Now, if you go to the hard link there in the text underneath, that'll take you to a video showing several, you know, drive-bys of these boats, Iranian boats, threatening U.S. naval craft in the air. And this is, you know, by a nation that declares America as the big Satan and Israel as the small Satan. They want to destroy us, Islamic law in their country. Now, this means this curve, this war curve, is closer than ever. And we know, of course, with China and this Wuhan virus issue, that world opinion is pretty much against them. And again, this is laying the groundwork for a confrontation between the United States and China. Yeah, there you go. That's that that video.
Yep.
They're out there harassing us. They're just daring us to do something to take him out. And I suppose if one of them fired our ship would totally destroy them. And, of course, that would then be reported in the press, especially the Iranian press, as American aggression. They're just taunting us. They want to have the war. So you've got Iran, you've got China, you've got Russia. All these people, all these countries are gathered together against the United States in a very tight little consortium. It reminds me of what the Hopi prophecy keeper told me in Hollywood when we were down there years ago. at the Hopi Nation, the Shungopebi Nation. We were there. Mesa, the second Mesa in the middle of all that. But anyway, they told us, or prophecy keeper did, that three nations would invade the United States, China, Russia, and a Middle Eastern nation, and that they would absolutely clobber the United States in this invasion, but they wouldn't stay long. They'd turn around and leave, probably because the country is so destroyed or disease-ridden or whatever, but that a portion of the United States would survive this over near the Rockies and near the four corners of, you know, Utah and Colorado and Arizona and New Mexico and that area. So I feel this coming. I mean, Iran is a Middle East nation. I don't think Saudi Arabia will be making the attack, but I could be wrong. I think it would be Iranian forces who want to take out Jerusalem, you know, with the Quds force and to take out the United States. So we're there. That's just another one of the curves that's coming active. And slide 54, you remember how I've talked about my research showing in Revelation 13 that the Antichrist of this age, the number and the name of that man, you know, here is wisdom, points to an Antichrist whose name contains the name Solomon some way, Suleiman, Soleimani, something like that.
Yes.
And so every time one of my, you know, watch list guys kind of comes to the forefront, I need to mention it. And this article in slide 54 shows that Suleiman Soliu, who is the interior minister, he was the interior minister for Turkey under Erdogan, he released an order that said, okay, we're shutting down the country for this virus for a while, and you know, warned him not to go in the street and that kind of stuff. And with that posting, he then resigned. Now, he is the front runner in the public opinion there to replace Erdogan, who's, you know, the president in charge of Turkey. Now, Turkey would be a great place for the Antichrist to come because it's the seat of the, you know, the ancient Roman Empire in that area. You had the East and West joined together there. So if our Antichrist guy comes from there and has the name Suleiman, And perhaps if he even wears a fez, because only the Turks used to do that, we're going to see that he is the Antichrist. So right now, he's just a nondescript person. He's in the background. He's resigned from his position. But there will be a change of government. Instead of having Erdogan's son-in-law take over from him, we're going to see Suleiman, I think. And things will change then. He is popular amongst the people because he looks after the people, or so they would believe. He's definitely on my slide 13. If you go there, I haven't got a lot of information on him yet, but he's the second picture over next to Mohammed bin Salman.
Man.
Yeah.
It does cause me to wonder. All of these, and you do a nice job of laying out the search of the Antichrist, the possibilities. And folks, this isn't intellectual exercise, investigative exercise, nothing more. I mean, I think you'd agree with me on that, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm just throwing it out there for what ifs, you know, and trying to understand what the prophecy in Revelation 13 was trying to tell us. It was a coded message, and you know, here is wisdom, and it points you to King Solomon by the 666. And so I say, okay, what does that mean? Are we to see the Antichrist revealed and then suddenly be raptured, or what? So it's fireside chat, actually.
Yeah.
You know, that's it.
I'm not sure if I printed it out here. I saw maybe I didn't hear. I think this is it. Talking about the Antichrist system, the beast system. Where Bill Gates, of course, you know, Bill Gates now is becoming like Soros. He's mentioned and everything, is setting the stage for the mark of the beast in this case. And they're talking about ID 2020. And of course, Bill Gates setting up the stage for the mark of the beast, not the Antichrist, but, writing here, ID 2020 seeks to leverage immunization as an opportunity to establish digital identity and to provide a unique digital identity to everyone on the planet. So, you know, a numeric sequence or a numeric identification of every human living person. Interesting. architecture to go to in conjunction with your study of who could be the man of perdition.
So, right, right. Yeah. It's,
but definitely were, you know, it's,
he can use the system. The Antichrist can use the system that Gates has developed.
Sure. I mean,
it's there. The tools are there for
right.
the Antichrist to use.
And I'm glad in a sense. I'm seeing more and more people look at biblical prophecy in a more, they're starting to look at biblical prophecy and they're starting to look at the Bible and starting to pay attention. And that's a good thing, to me anyway, where they're saying, wow, this is coming right from the Bible, it seems like. I don't know whether that's going to help, but you know,
That's interesting. In slide 45, something right up what you just said, right up the alley, yep. is a guy named Clarence Sexton, is praying for, you know, a revival, you know, one last great revival before everything falls apart in the tribulation. And it's only a 4-minute video, but it's not just him asking to pray for a revival. He tells a story about, you know, in a church in, I think it's Scotland, where they were praying for revival. There are these two sisters that they existed. A very short story, only four minutes. But in the congregation was a young fellow named Donald who was helping, you know, the pastor, you know, and handing out literature and passing the tray and that kind of stuff. But the derivative of that is what happens to this guy. His name is Donald Smith. But what happens after that will astound you. I mean, it will encourage you and astound you. You just have to go look at this video. I promise you it will inspire you if you are a believer in any way in Jesus. It will inspire you.
I had tons of people send me this video.
Oh.
And I'll tell you what, I watched it. And even in preparation of this evening's show, I looked at the video as well, or I clicked on the link immediately recognizing the video. And yeah, it's well worth watching. Go to the show images page on standeo.com, folks, and watch this. It's really a great piece of video. It really is. Makes you think.
Yeah. Well, it certainly encouraged me. I still feel that it tells us heavily that the hand of the Lord is upon our country and its current leadership. And so I'm just encouraged by it all.
Yeah, I am too. In that case. Yep.
Slide 46. The fig tree generation, the generation that will not pass before all these things come to pass, according to what Jesus said. If you click on that link, it's long enough that you have to take a few minutes to read it. But it's talking about how we determine what the length of a generation is. Normally, we can put it a length at 70, which is 70, but then we could do it at 75 for an unrighteous generation. But there is one generation mentioned in passing in one scripture. It says that he who is strong and endures past the 70 age up to, you know, 80 and above is of a generation of enduring strong people. So 80 years you can use then and say, okay, if Israel was formed in 1948 and that length of time is added, it comes to the end of the tribulation when all these things will have come to pass as 2028. Back up 7 years. Oh, well, that's next year.
Mm-hmm.
And next year starts around September or so in Rosh Hashanah this year.
That's
so
right.
We are very close. We are very close, I think, on all the ways you can figure it, to these things all coming to pass. In one respect, you can be excited. In the other, you can be sad for all those people who don't know how close we are to the world apart, as prophesied in the Bible, and that there's a way to avoid this. You know, I don't know how we get their attention other than some crisis like we've got now.
You know, I wonder how many people, because of this, have adjusted their sights to the Bible, to the Holy Bible, to the Christian faith. It makes me wonder. It seems to me that it would have to be sensibly a good number, but maybe I'm too optimistic.
Well, you know, you look at 9/11, when that happened, we had a lot of people going back to church. Unfortunately, we can't do that now because you can't gather together. But the going back to church, the revival of faith in God was strong during the post few months of 9/11. But then people got back into their old groove and no more church, and yeah, okay, fine, and forget it. But this, I think, has got the attention of the whole world, not just American citizens in 9/11. This is a showstopper. Yeah. And I think that we're going to see, especially in some of the countries where, you know, like in India, and, you know, where there are large crowds being preached to and being gathered in for this, they're going to hear the gospel and many will be saved, I do believe. This is God's mercy. One last great revival for the planet. It'll happen. It'll happen.
It's an interesting form in which it took, if that's the case. Certainly an interesting way to get the planet's attention. Although what better way, I guess, when you look at it that way. So yeah, I mean.
Okay. Now a couple of things I want to get to quickly here before I forget them here. We have a number of geophysical things that are happening. Volcanoes are acting up. We're having more smaller earthquakes, but much more of them over the last 2-3 months all around the planet in key plate tectonic zones, and some that aren't normally that way inside the United States, for sure. Also, we're having droughts. Now, slide 53, if you click on the picture itself, it enlarges to a bigger form of what you see. And basically what this is telling about, which you can read in the text, the link to the text in the bottom, is that in Chile, they have had the worst drought in, well, like 10 years or so. This 10-year drought. Well, it's not in 10 years, but it's a 10-year drought. Now, it's the worst one they've had since 1915, but it's the kind of drought that it takes, it only occurs once every 1,000 years. And that picture you've got up on the screen on the right side of it is where, you know, the lake used to empty into that kind of tan area and flow down into the hillside there, the mountainside, to water all the various streams in Chile. It is totally bone dry. And this is a very unusual thing when they say it's a 1-in-1,000-year type event. It's just one of many things that are, you know, in addition to disease, and the economic crunch is coming. People are feeling it now, but they're really going to feel it even when we go back to work. The whole world has been shaken to the core economically. And the U.S. dollar, of course, is now going to be deflated, in my opinion, the value of it, because they're issuing so much currency, you know, at the Fed. There's only so much assets to back that currency, so it's going to deflate the value of it. So the U.S. dollar isn't worth as much, and so imports will cost us more, and all kinds of things will go wrong. And then with the Saudis and the Russians playing funny buggers with the oil prices in the Middle East, we're going to see, you know, again, effects in our economy that are pretty painful, and the world. When I say our, I mean the world economy. So all these curves... They're coming together. There's just no question about it. No question about it.
By the way, Stan, we have about 10 minutes left. Your program clock. Oh. Don't pay attention to the program clock. We screwed that up here. So.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So.
All right. So I might have to. Okay. Well, that's good. All right. Well, then slide 44. We have a leading astronomer, astrophysicist, I guess it'd be more apropos. Astrophysicist who talks about UFOs. Now, normally that's a death sentence in the professional community. And basically what he says is the evidence he's seen makes him think that this could be a real phenomenon. And you can see in the link to the article, and then watch the video, and why he discusses, you know, why he believes that they are part of our reality. And, whether they are worthy of study, you know, aliens, UFOs, abductions, that kind of stuff. He goes on and talks about his opinion on Bob Lazar and the Area 51 allegations. He thinks that Bob Lazar is the real deal. So this is a very interesting testimony by a very prestigious astrophysicist. And I think that people ought to have a listen or view of that video that goes with it.
What do you think? You know, I know that some people had recently, I was watching on some of the internet boards where there was a discussion about the existence of extraterrestrials versus the existence, or what many Christians believe to be interdimensional as opposed to extraterrestrial. The interdimensionality of it would be the spiritual rending of the veil between the universes, right? Or the dimensions.
Yeah.
It could be both, though, right? It could be.
It could be both because once Satan penetrated the veil, came in years ago, centuries ago, whatever. I mean, he's been messing with mankind for, you know, since before the Garden of Eden, I think, but at least at that point. So he's had time to spread his wings, spread his minions out to various other planet systems, and he may have intergalactic travel capabilities, I don't know, but certainly interplanetary is on the cards, and solar systems, transstellar systems is on the cards. So if they have beings that they've put into, he's put into other worlds and adapted their physiology to work better in that world, like low gravity worlds or high gravity worlds, taller or shorter, squat more muscular, or different appearances for their ears to hear better, or, you know, all these kind of things could have been engineered biologically by Satan and his team in various other worlds to give the illusion that our universe is all there is, and that the aliens have come from our universe to help us. I mean, it's going to be a convincing argument. He's going to have craft coming, and they're going to be different looking beings on them. Some will be real, some will probably be biological robots like the gray critters, but the gray critters are probably going to be the ones that Satan and his other minions, whatever they look like, will defeat for us and will get rid of, so they won't harm our livestock and abduct us and, you know, do strange experiments on humans. And he will, of course, deliver mankind from the threat of these evil aliens, which, of course, is part of what he created anyway, and be a hero. His minions, his Antichrist and his forces will be heroes, and they will do things like show, you know, probably holographic 3D images of the crucifixion or of Jesus' life, you know, and say, look, we were there when this happened. We recorded this for posterity so you get the truth. And they'll put Jesus down as one of the great prophets of the ages, and that way blend into the Islamic model for the earth at that time, which will be a sort of Judeo-Christian Islamic religion for the whole planet that'll try to solve or serve all three religions. And one of the common factors I see there is that they're going to introduce beheading of people who don't worship the beast. And that's, an Islamic trait. However, Christians have used it too in Europe in ages past when the Catholic Church was trying to convert everybody. So it's going to be a grand deception. That's what we're looking for. And they will do things that will impress people and make them think there's no heaven outside of our universe, that it's all within our universe in a very corporeal thing, you know, solid thing, and that will be part of the great deception. People will believe it because they want to. The alternative is just too bad.
Man, yeah, wow. What a time to be alive. What a time to witness the events that we're seeing, and even more importantly, I think, what a time to be have the ability to make whatever change we, you know, to be a part of making certain changes, influencing events. And, you know, I think God's given all of us a job, and, you know, you, me, and everyone listening and viewing this. And I think that we have to play our role, play our part, and do the job that we are given. That's my view. And, just as during, you showed Washington and the Revolutionary War. They had a job to do. We have a job to do, and I believe a lot of it's spiritual. So, I mean, let's do our jobs.
You mentioned Washington again, George Washington. I remember the vision that he was shown by an angel that appeared to him there while he was at in the Ward Valley Forge and various other places of it. The angel gave him an outline of what was going to happen to the United States and why it had to be formed. And it was, you know, prophetic from the very beginning. I mean, Washington prayed. He prayed a lot. He would go out in the woods by himself and kneel down and pray. A great, great leader for our country, and God chose him well. So, yeah.
Yeah, and the visions he had for America were not, obviously, we might see that come to pass now. Cities burning and You know, who knows? It looks, you know, a year ago when we were sitting here talking, a year ago versus today, so much has changed. It's almost breathtaking to think how much has changed in the year that we've been in, just this one, this past year.
Yeah. Unbelievably fast.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, so that makes me think we could be sitting here talking in 3 months, or maybe not, because, you know, who knows, but, and we could be dealing with a whole different set of circumstances. Every morning when I wake up, I just think, my goodness, you know, what is today going to bring, and how much further down the road are we going to be going today, just in the 24 hours ahead of us? I don't know. I've been waxing philosophically of late, so, and thinking of that as well.
When I'm just going to share with you something that happened here yesterday on our property. We sit on the side, not quite at the crest of a small hill here in our neighborhood, kind of in a desert region anyway. But from time to time, I've looked out the front door and I've seen the wind blowing, let's say, that way. And then I've gone to look out the back door and I've seen the wind at the same time blowing that way.
Explain that.
Well, we were in the middle of a vortex of air around us, a mini dust devil, if you wish.
Uh-huh.
Yesterday, one hit, we were sitting in the living room, and we have a rather large barbecue grill, you know, that we have to set the brakes on it. I forgot to put the brakes on it, but it was sitting on our deck, and we heard this almighty whoosh and crunch, and one of those vortexes came up underneath our grill and moved it across the deck about 10 feet, and then it was gone. So these microbursts are going to probably be like that in reverse where they come down. But it was still rather reminding us that things are happening around us that aren't normal with the weather.
You know,
I'm glad you mentioned that.
I just wanted to say this. One of the first times I've ever seen that, how you talk about your grill, I saw that as well with pool water, okay, where it lifted pool water out of the pool, near the center of the pool, not in the center, but near. And I thought, my goodness, what was that? And it was like a dust devil except with water. But anyway, go ahead.
You have a pool of water?
Yeah. Yeah, it's Olympic sized in-ground pool. No, I thought, wow, it's amazing. And I just happened to see that here within the last couple of days. With the weather and the wind and stuff. So
really, yeah. Really? Okay. Well, I know we've had a lot of tornadoes on the southeast coast and down into Florida region and Georgia and that kind of stuff. Very destructive things. And I can expect these things to get worse. And sadly, one of the feeds that I use off of NASA, the SDO, Solar Dynamics Observatory, since March 13th has been offline for the magnetic stuff. I can't get any current magnetic field images.
I heard that. Why is that? Why?
Staff that had to go home or something, you know, because of the virus. I don't know. But it's been dead in the water, which is one of the things that I really looked at to try to predict, you know, solar events that were of critical interest. We have had our first coronal mass ejection, which generated a G1 class magnetic storm on the Earth a couple of days back. In fact, Holly and I checked on it because we felt rather lethargic and kind of spacey. You know, we felt funny in our head, and it was because of this magnetic storm that was caused by this minor, really, in my opinion, coronal mass ejection a few days earlier on the sun. If the sun continues to increase its thermal output in the infrared and some of the ultraviolet, which is being absorbed as well, maybe we're going to see more turbulent weather like we're seeing now in diverse places, as the heat engine of the planet is, you know, fed by the sun itself and various things it's doing. It's something to concern. A minute left. Okay, slide 58. You can go to the text on that later. It's a warning it's an article on how President Trump is protecting the United States from EMP pulse. And I just thought it was important to mention now, in the midst of all the other things he's faced with and handling, this was one that was very important, as far as shielding your stuff from EMP attacks, EMP bombs or whatever, because I think we're very close to seeing somebody try to hit us and further disable us rather than just with a virus. Yeah, that's the one.
I do as well. Folks,
that was a year ago.
And Stan, of course, and his crew, EMP Shield. You need the EMP Shield. I'm telling you, it'll protect your wares, your electronics from sun, from EMP attacks, whatever. Stan, thank you so very much. We're out of time. God bless you, my friend.
Thank you.
All right.
Hope we see you again next week. God bless you.
Indeed.
Bye-bye.
All right. That was Stan Dale from standale.com. Make sure you click on the show images page. Folks, I want to thank you again for sticking with me for another program. Thanks, Stan and Holly Dale. My goodness, what gracious people they are. May God bless each and every one of you. I'll be praying for you tonight. God bless. Have a great night.